Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for this time we're able to share together. We're heard every day on this station, Monday through Friday. And if at any point you miss a broadcast, you can always feel free to go to our website where you can just click on the broadcast and listen at your convenience. Well, yesterday we were talking about a period of time in Israel's history, looking at Scripture, what happened after the death of Solomon. His son Rehoboam reigned in his stead. And basically, the people came to him and said, could you just lighten the load that's been on us? Because there had been tremendous building projects. Israel was enjoying a time of prosperity and peace such as they had never known before or since. And it was a great period of time as far as the nation of Israel. However, Rehoboam listened to, he had counsel from Solomon's counselors, the elders, as well as some young men, and he said, make it easier, I'm going to make it harder. And so as a result, that split. Israel, 10 tribes went their own way, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was king over the tribes or the cities of Israel in Judah. And so what we find is that the enemy, because they turned away from serving the Lord, that the strong king of Egypt, who was Shishak, came and basically robbed the treasures of Israel. They took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. That is in 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. The treasures of the king's house, they took everything, and they took the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And so King Shishak was the first really strong pharaoh of the 22nd dynasty of Egypt, and his aims were largely expansionistic, if you will, over and above his intention to deal with Israel, Rehoboam. And the invasion begins an era in which the two kingdoms of Judah and Israel were to be a buffer in the struggles of the major powers, as well as many times being pawns in their power games. This falling within the sphere of influence was first that power and then that power, all because they were being tossed to and fro because they refused to walk with God. As it says in 2 Chronicles, that when he was strengthened, he established the kingdom, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. That's chapter 12, verse 1. And so the root cause of the division was the king and the people basically turned away from serving God, as they had been warned through the prophets, as the law of the Lord said, as Moses was delivering the Ten Commandments when they had just gotten out of Egypt. And the nation, when you think of it, really wasn't divided because of the foolishness of Rehoboam, nor because of the intrigue of Jeroboam, and that's another story, but they were simply instruments that God used to bring into being what had already been decided by the Lord if they turned away from serving God. In 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 9, God told Solomon, if they went to serve other gods, this is a quote, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. That word proverb means a particular characteristic of something or someone, a byword. And of course, byword is something contemptible or of ridiculous quality. So Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, sought the advice of the older men of experience who had ministered to Solomon, and then he despised it because it didn't suit his own needs. He listened to the young men. And then when he had strengthened himself, he turned away from the Lord. And it seems for those that know the Lord and have walked with him even for some time, that they seek God and worship him when they're in trouble. And God permitted Egypt to attack Jerusalem to reveal to the king, to Rehoboam, that his selfish strength was no strength at all. Rehoboam had indications of being selfish and self-centered, as well as fickle. And his life was one of being good for a while, but really only camouflaging the heart of evil in that he would not serve the Lord wholeheartedly and with a perfect heart, as his grandfather David had done. And as a result, the example he gave, it made the people of Israel just as fickle. After 17 years of continuous wars and more evil than good that he did, he died and was succeeded by his son. And there's much irony in the life of Rehoboam. And unfortunately, it can parallel a lot of the lives of Christians because human nature hasn't changed. Let's look at, first of all, what he did. He established the kingdom when he took power, and that is our first objective when we serve Christ, to establish the kingdom in our heart. Remember, Jesus said, the kingdom is within you, okay? And so we establish, we acknowledge the reign and the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what happens as time passes on, if we're not careful, and Paul described it, this great man of God, talked about the carnal nature, and we either learn to mortify, which means nothing else but kill the deeds of the flesh, or if we don't seek the Lord and believe for his strength, that our carnal nature will rule. So often, like the Galatians, he said, Paul said, who has bewitched you? I mean, you should be mature at this point, and you know, you need milk at the, you need some of the basics reestablished. And so Rehoboam let his old nature rule over him. He strengthened himself instead of asking God to strengthen him. And so often we're that way. Things go along pretty well, and then we lose sight of the Lord. Our fervor and service to the Lord diminishes. Remember Jesus, when he spoke to the Laodicean church, he said they felt they were rich and increased with goods and didn't need anything. And his estimation of them was just totally to the contrary, that they were weak and miserable and naked. Why? Because it's very possible we can lose our first love. And so Israel, when they were led by God out of Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians, didn't they? Remember? They took their gold. They just, as you know, at that final time before the Passover, they were getting all the wealth of the Egyptians. And now the Egyptians, 600 years afterwards, spoiled them, getting back much more than Israel had taken out of Egypt, it's been said by some scholars. So there were 300 solid gold shields used on special state occasions. Those were the ones that were stolen. And in fact, that verse is verse 9 in chapter 13. Shishak took the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and he took everything, and he carried away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. There were 300 of these gold shields, and they would be today, in today's estimation, absolutely priceless. And the glory of man is so fallible. God's glory, beloved, is from everlasting to everlasting, as is his holy word. The temple which was built by Solomon was robbed in the days of his son, and instead of the shields of gold which Shishak stole, Rehoboam made shields of brass. And how many times the things that begin in God, when left to man's direction, and I don't have to comment much on that. We see that through the history of the church, all through the centuries. Even in the last 200 years, we've seen that all the various denominations that have sprung up because of a lack of agreement on very basic principles. So, what did he do? He rejected God's word and superimposed his will over what God wanted, and then he has to make shields of brass. So what did Rehoboam do when those shields were stolen? He had to keep up appearances. And since he wasn't willing or couldn't replace them with solid gold shields, he was willing to provide a substitute, something that looked like gold. He was willing to provide a substitute, but it wasn't. It was brass. And so, beloved, we are called to preserve the things that have been given to us. And obviously, what he did at that time to avoid the people from getting too close to examine the shields or just close enough to see that there was obviously something different, he put guards in charge of them. So he had them doubly guarded. And many times, Christians, we have at one time or another substituted something brass for gold through, if you can hear the symbolism, through unfaithfulness and sin, we lose the pure heart of gold, of purity, of communion with the Lord, of spiritual hunger and thirst after divine things. And for all this gold, brass is substituted. Oh, you know, the outward looks of devotion and piety are kept up, and we just look the same as ever in the eyes of men. But the Lord sees the heart. I want to share with you what it says in Isaiah 17 and 18. We see the glory of the church portrayed. And verse 17 says, "For brass I," the Lord is saying, "I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron." Praise God. Well, I could elaborate a whole lot more, but my time is gone and we must bring this broadcast to a close. I know that some of you are going through very difficult times. This has been a time of extraordinary challenges and battles. The last several years have been. And so you may have no one that you can really talk to or share. You might be in a good church, but know that your letters are strictly confidential. No one reads the mail or answers it but myself. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.